Let us learn some of Hilchas Tefillin, Rabbi Yisai, Simen Lamed Ches. Today we're going to be learning about the ill person in Siv Tes, Mitztayer. Someone who's Mitztayer. Now, I'm not comfortable with the Mitztayer, the translation of Mitztayer. Mitztayer literally means somebody who's in pain. It clearly doesn't really, Mitztayer, pain, agony, it doesn't really mean that. Because he defines it, Umisha ain't died to me, Yusheves Olav. And somebody whose mind is not settled, how should we say, died to me, Yusheves. Somebody who's not, what's the right word? Did I? Okay. I said it perfectly, that's even better. Okay.
English
is absolutely, sure. So what we're learning now is that somebody whose mind is not settled, who is not well, who is not feeling that, not quite, nah. So that is, he is exempt from tefillin. Why? Because you're not allowed to take your mind off the tefillin. You have to have, as we discussed countless times in the past, you need to have a conscious awareness of your tefillin. You need to have some sort of level of concentration. That level of concentration cannot be achieved if somebody's just under the weather. He's not well. He's in pain, or he's not well, or he's not quite himself. So therefore, he's exempt. Now, does that mean that he doesn't put on tefillin at all? No. Again, we're talking about a person who is wearing tefillin the whole day. So that individual who is wearing tefillin the whole day, he should not wear tefillin in such circumstances the whole day. But, of course, if he is able to concentrate and to focus and to settle and to get his acts together for Shema Nesveh and Shema, by all means, that's what he should do. Interesting. Just to get the levels of unwellness, I find it very hard to. It's very relevant when it comes to Hilchas Rafua on Shabbos to define unwell. When somebody says he's under the weather, for some people it's they wouldn't even, the threshold is very different. But some people, I'm under the weather, I'm calling and I'm not going to work today. For some people, they wouldn't even mention it. They would just carry on. And then others that are like really flat out and everything, and they still, it's very hard to define unwellness. It's very hard to define that. And it's very important for Hilchas Shabbos sometimes. When can you, somebody's a Choleh Kol Gufo, he's allowed to take medicines on Shabbos. I know I'm going off the topic, but somebody's a Choleh Kol Gufo, somebody's in his entire body feels aches and pains. He's allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. So how do you, for one person, it's like the threshold is like up there, Choleh Kol Gufo, he's going to bed, he's like, pfft. And for the other, it's the same thing, he wakes up with a slight headache, while he's like, Choleh Kol Gufo. It's very interesting. It's like, what is that, what has it got to do with? It's got to do with, yeah, that's the extreme level.
I don't think it's extreme, I think it's a massively endemic kind of thing affecting today's
world, yeah.
Yeah, people are weak of mind.
Yeah, I think it's got. I think it depends. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
I also thought it's to the point where you actually have to lie down on your bed.
Yeah, but that itself is very relative. You're right. That's what Mishnah says, but that's relative.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people lie down when they've got sniffles. Some people don't.
So exactly, and that's what the Mishnah says over here. He says, even if somebody's got a cold, that's considered a mitztayer. Okay, so Mishnah says, that's talking about somebody who is, somebody who's unable to control himself, to get his acts together, to sort himself out. But if he's able to concentrate, focus, get organized, then chayev liyashiv daito, he must settle, concentrate, and focus, and put on tefillin. Seif yud rabbi say, hakoy reba toira, potum anochas tefillin. Somebody who is, I'm going to translate this literally. Hakoy reba toira, somebody reads the Torah, potu is exempt, manochas tefillin, He's exempt from putting on tefillin kol hayom, the entire day. Zulas, excluding b'shas ki hashma, when he's reading shema, tefillin when he's davening shema neser. Why is it that somebody who's reading the Torah is exempt from tefillin? Reading the it's not talking about necessarily leaning in the context that we are familiar with. It means anybody who was learning Torah in previous generations would be reading from this is pre Gutenberg, right? There's one who that invented printing, so everything was written on kaf. So that's how they learned Torah, was with hakoyra batoyra, when you read the Torah. Yeah. So, very good. So the Mishnah explains Sevkot Lamed Beis. Let's get this clear. Sevkot Lamed Beis. Batoyra. Efshar the Dafka Batoyra Shebiksav. Was specifically talking about Torah Shebiksav. That's what it says. Hakoyra Batoyra. Somebody reads the Torah. Avoloi Beoisek Bigemore. But we are not referring to the individual who is learning Gemore. Why? What's the difference between Torah and Gemara? The Torah yeshloi mashi atzmo ois, because the Torah itself is an ois. Sheniska bo yitzias Mitzrayim, that it addresses, it mentions the yitzias Mitzrayim. So since the Torah shebiksav is so often and so frequently and so significantly talking about yitzias Mitzrayim, that's an ois. Well, if I'm learning yitzias Mitzrayim, which is ois, I don't need to wear tefillin, which is an ois. I don't need to have double ois. Now, but why is he so? Yeah, as Mishlebus Sevkot Lamed Gimel Potu, he doesn't interrupt his learning in order to put on tefillin. But if he's only before. He doesn't have to stop his learning, but before he started learning, of course he has chayiv, he's obligated to put on tefillin. So if in the morning he's putting on tefillin, yeah, that's good. But if he starts learning, then he doesn't have to put on tefillin. So that would be the case.
Very good. Still learning.
Yes, so that's what he's saying. That he's actually at that point he'd actually be exempt, because if he's learning Torah Shebiksav, that's an ois, he doesn't have to put on tefillin.
What about his
Yeah, he should say Kiyashma. That's the Gemara in Brochus. The Gemara in Brochus addresses that very question. That's a machlokes in the Gemara. And I think that in theory it's a machlokes in the Gemara. It's a machlokes in the Gemara as to whether he has to say Shema if he's learning Torah. Yeah. No, it wouldn't have to be necessarily from klaf, although that was the common scenario. It doesn't have to be from a klaf, but anytime he's learning to have shibiksav, that is an ois. Look at the Mishnah Sifkat Lamedalet. Mishnah Sifkat Lamedalet says, "Man lochas tefillin, aval gav shemechuyev lehafsik metamut." That's addressing your question, really. Although, generally, a person has to stop learning Torah in order to fulfill the mitzvahs. So that's, if somebody's learning full-time, it doesn't stop. A real great masmit, such as Avel Yashiv, who really didn't stop learning, like Reb Chaim Kenya, he really didn't stop learning, literally, does he need to stop for any other time, any time related mitzvah, such as doesn't need to stop to shokel dalad minim, doesn't need to stop to hear the shofar. Why don't we say oisik ma mitzvah potter min a mitzvah? Why don't we say, well, he's learning, why do you need to interrupt the learning? The answer is because the Gemara says, and that's what the Mishnah is quoting, a very crucial, very important Mishnah Bura, shani mitzvahs. Tefillin she'ikar te'alto yile Torah k'diksev alizirchon b'enecho leman tia Torah z'Hashem b'ficho. The Gemara says it's true. Of course, somebody who is learning Torah, he must stop for mitzvah dalad minim. Somebody who is learning Torah must stop for shofar. Somebody who is learning Torah, of course, he must stop for mitzvahs. The only exception is But the reason is because the Torah itself is in order to fulfill the mitzvahs. The whole Torah is leman tiyeh Torah Hashem b'vicha. We have got the Torah in order to fulfill the mitzvahs. So obviously, I've got to stop. So mekimen shikvar oisik b'Torah mogdem ein tzorach levatal Torah b'shvil zeh zulus b'shas kiyash ma b'tfilin kedei lekabel ol malchus shemaim v'gam shos adayin ein oisik b'Torah mechuv leloiv leis tfilin. So he says that yes, a person must interrupt in order to put on tfilin. However, here comes the Vilna Gaon with the Rambam Chodesh Tegepsak v'agro pasek b'viur tzedaf k'mishu tirosu umnosik in Rashi v'chaverov. It's only talking about somebody who doesn't interrupt at all. Aval ki goin onu, but people like us, onu tzichim lehafzik af letfilin. So there is a machloikas over here. The Mishtabur brings from the Vilna Gaon. It depends what kind of person. We can really relate to this Vilna Gaon. Vilna Gaon says, it depends what kind of person you are. Again, we want to know, we want to understand. Does a person wear tefillin? Doesn't need to interrupt to put on tefillin? So strictly speaking, Shulchan Aruch says, no, because if you're learning Torah non-stop, you don't have to interrupt to put on tefillin. Why is what? Because the tefillin itself is an ois. So you would say that since you are oisik in an ois, you don't have to swap that ois for another ois. Generally, the tefillin is considered an ois. Yeah. But the Vilna Gaon disagrees, and he says, oh, no, it doesn't make any sense. If somebody is a normal human being nowadays, 21st century, it was different in times of Tanoim. Nowadays, if somebody will interrupt now and then he should also interrupt from his learning in order to put on tefillin. Unlike the Shulchan Aruch. So obviously we've got the machloikas of it. It's quite a thing. We've got the machloikas between the Shulchan Aruch, which explicitly states you interrupt in order to put on tefillin. We don't interrupt in order to put on tefillin. And the Vilna Gaon, who holds that you do interrupt, you stop, you're learning in order to put on tefillin. By the way, I just want to point out, it's quite interesting. If you think about the... Yeah, what's noticeable about this? Just that in terms of Shulchan Aruch, you know, you've got a Vilna Gaon who's chaylik on the Shulchan Aruch. The Vilna Gaon who's chaylik on the Shulchan Aruch. It's quite a, you know, it's quite.
I was going to say it's funny because they say that the Vilna Gaon used to learn from the Torah, right?
Yeah.
But there's that famous paint. I don't know who it's from, but it's famous painting of him.
That's interesting. That's very interesting. That's the painting of the Vilna Gaon, and in the Vilna Gaon, that's true. That painting of the Vilna Gaon, he's wearing tefillin. Yeah, yeah. Although it's always questioned when it comes to the paintings, how accurate it is and how correct it is. But yes, on the painting, and there's probably truth in it. Yeah. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, see if Yud Aleph addresses the question of taking tefillin off. In front of a rav, lo yach. See if you talev, gentlemen. Lo yach leit tefillin. A person should not take off tefillin b'fnei rabbi in front of his teacher. Don't take tefillin off in front of your rebbe. Elo yifne letzad acher, but turn to the other direction. Mipnei, because a mosoi of the fear that you have towards you, or you're meant to have towards your rebbe, v'yach leit shalei b'fonav, and you should take off the tefillin not in front of your rebbe. So which rabbi is talking about? Mishnah Brurah Sifkot Lamed Hei says, "Bifnei Rabbi Hainu Rabbi Amuvik." It's talking about a Rabbi Muvik, your great rabbi that you learned most Torah from. Who is the rabbi that you learned most Torah from? Do you have such an individual that most of your Torah comes from that person?
It doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Of course. So, Rabbi Muvik, it's the Roif Chachmosa is Imenu, that most of your Torah comes from that particular person. It's interesting nowadays. We probably don't have that anymore. Reb Chaim Volozhiner held that his Rabbi Muvik was the Vilna Gaon, and you've come that sometimes you find that kind of relationship. That a person was very... Reb Moshe Feinstein apparently felt that his father was Rabbi Muvik because he learned many, many years by him. You have that scenario sometimes. Rav Nebenzahl, who is the Rav of the Altstadt, of the Iratika, yeah, of the Altstadt in Yerushalayim, he felt that his Rabbi Muvik was a Pshtoim Zalman Auerbach. So you've got that, sometimes you've got that kind of relationship that a person feels that he's Rabbi Muvik. It is, however, Roif Chachma, so most of your Chachma comes from that person. Somebody once told me, I don't think that's true. But I don't think so. But it's something to think about. It's a little bit... who is probably the person that enabled you to learn the most? Who is the Rebbe that probably enabled you to learn the most? You may argue that the person who enabled you to learn the most is your Aleph Beis Rebbe. Why? Why Aleph Beis Rebbe? Of course. Without Aleph Beis, you couldn't have done anything. And because you know the Aleph Beis, you know how to read. So that enabled you to learn Chumash, to learn Mishnah, to learn Gemara, and to learn the rest of the Torah. So you could argue, perhaps, but it's a weak argument, it's not brought down in the poskim, but it's a nice thought, that the Aleph Beis Rebbe may be the closest we have got to Rabbi Muvik. But if a person, so what is brought down halacha, is that God L'Hadoris got a level of Rabbi Muvik, and by the Chassidim is very well established that the Chassidish Rebbe, he's got a level of Rabbi Muvik, because all the Torah and all the year comes from him. Either way, what Shulchan Aruch is teaching us over here, don't take tefillin off whilst in front of your Rabbi Muvik. I recall, I don't know if you remember that, when I was I remember this so clearly, but that when I was in Gate Yeshiva, so I took tefillin. I was davening in the front, like the bochim. Some bochim were davening. I don't know what it's like nowadays. The least popular seats were the ones in the front row. The back was packed, and the front was. So I was davening quiet in the front, I was facing the Shiva, Rabbi von Govitz, and then somebody was pointing out to me, "You can't take tefillin off over here." And I said, "What are you talking about? You can't take tefillin off over here." He said, "What are you talking about?" Well, looking at this Mishtabura now, was he right or was he wrong? Well, I had no clue. I didn't come from any good place. I'm just saying that I didn't come from knowledge. But I'm what looking at the Shulchan Aruch now, what do you say? Wrong. Why? Exactly. Rabbi von Govitz may be indeed one of the G'doylim, one of the greatest of yeshivas, and he is one of the greatest Mabitze Torah in Europe, without question. But he may not; he's not qualified. Doesn't qualify in my personal life as Rabbi Muvik. I didn't went to Shia for a year, so that doesn't make him my Rabbi Muvik. So therefore, I don't think it's halacha that he can't take tefillin off in front of him. And finally, why is it that you can't take tefillin off in front of a Rabbi Muvik? Why is it? So Mishabur says, because it's considered disrespectful. It's disrespectful. Taking tefillin off is a level of disrespect. And you can't do that in front of a Rebbe. So Halacha L'Maaseh, Rabbi is saying, in which scenario can you not take tefillin off in front of a... So if in front of a Rebbe, in front of a Dayan, in front of a Poisik, it's probably okay, no? I think it's probably okay. I do not know how it works. I just don't remember how he did it. When you daven in a Bes Medrash or one of the Gedolei Yisrael, let's say you daven Shachis, I daven Shachis numerous times in Rav Elashiv's Bes Medrash, or I daven Shachis with Rav Ozna, Zichron Elivoch, which were unquestionably Gedolei Hador. You know, my son's bris was by Rav Ozna. So I don't know what the halacha would be in such a case. Does that mean that if you daven regularly, every day with one of the Gedolei Yisrael, does that mean you have to be careful how you take for you? To be careful that you face the other way to take filling off? Probably yes. But know what you think?
Sounds right,
yeah? But in normal circumstances, you don't have to worry. Yeah. Okay, Rabbi said, that's it for this evening. Tomorrow I want to discuss this halacha. If a person has got only money for tefillin or mezuzah, what he should purchase, and then we're going to carry on from there, Bezer Hashem. Okay, good evening, Rabbi Yisai, and good chod.